have you had a good week? I've been praying for you. I have been considering your problems that you have informed me of. I've been praying for jobs for you, financial breakthrough. I've been praying for your marriages this week and also the challenges that you're facing. I just pray that God is going to provide you with some great answers. Well, I've been doing this job now for nearly 20 years. And as a result of that, we are starting a campus. Where is the beautiful Sheila? Is she here or is she over next door? I can't see her. She's next door. As you're aware, we're starting a campus next year, C3 Wellard. Very excited about that. And one of the things that our overseer, we have overseers in C3 Church Movement. It's very much about looking after the health of the pastor. And so one of the things that our overseer has asked us to do is before we start a campus is to take some extended leave because it's hard planning a church. And we've got a couple here that are going to start a church from the States that are visiting with us today. So it's hard work starting a church starting a campus, as you're aware. So who here has been with the same employer for 20 years? Give me a wave. Okay. So what's that? Five out of... Okay. Well, I've actually been with my employer, you, for the last 20 years. So we're actually due some long service leave. And so not many of you, hey, everyone's moving around doing that kind of stuff, but we've been here for 20 years. And we'll be heading off after our Africa trip to take some leave, and then we're going to head back to a conference, and then we'll be home refreshed and raring to go to see you all. But, you know, in those 20 years, when we came down to Fremantle, we were actually a church plant ourselves. We came from a fantastic church, which Emma and Jason Schroeder now run in the northern suburbs. We were planted with a group of people. Charlie and Helen are actually on leave this week and with some other great people. Just a handful of people we started out. And when we came to Fremantle, it was a very interesting dynamic compared to what it is today. And so one of the things I would use to describe Fremantle, if you're not from this country originally or you're not from the area, was that you could almost describe it as it was almost like there was an amoral spirit over the area. So what do I mean? So I remember having a world-renowned prophet actually say that to me. Now, amoral means pretty much anything goes morally. And so we had situations where we had every world religion down here, and they would express that view very, very publicly, very vocally, which was fine. We had also not just religions, but we had the headquarters for the occult was down here at the time. And we also had churches who just Jesus was at that point in time. I'm not suggesting that that is the case today, but during that time, Jesus was an option. He was an added extra. He was one of the gods that you could follow in church. So there was a higher power, and the name of Jesus Christ was an option. So we came into that. We were a lot younger back then, weren't we, Dahl? And Sarah, you weren't even a thought at that stage. And we had a little grumpy nine-month-old baby. And I remember at the time, you know, when this occurred, you know, this whole thing about this, what, I mean, you've got to understand for Nige and I, this was so far for us culturally coming to Fremantle, not demographically, but just mindset. We were both from very middle class families. We were from an area where it was very cookie cutterish in the sense of we lived in this nice little house on this nice little street. We didn't have, you know, raw organic food. We didn't have all these options of different things and, you know, all this. This was just like mad down here 20 years ago. And we came into this area and it was just white middle class Nigel and Andrea. And it was just like, we felt that God had missed the mark with putting us here. We thought we weren't supposed to be here. We were supposed to be in the, you know, northern suburbs where everyone was white. And everyone sort of had, you know, 2.2 kids and lived in the little 4x2 kind of thing. But God knows what he's doing. And so out of us coming to Fremantle, it really, I suppose, what God did was he started to bring things out of our heart of who we were. Now, I came from a family that wasn't a Christian family. My brother, my sister, and myself, we were fantastic, you know, neighbours that reached out to us and brought us to church, and we eventually came to know Christ. And I cannot underestimate the power of children's ministry. And Emma's in our service today, our kids pastor, just the power of kids ministry. And so that's how, you know, that was sort of how we came to know Christ. My my family and my mum now attends a Salvation Army church in the country. My dad's no longer here. And so what God did, though, was he started to draw out of my heart and Nigel's heart. Nigel came from a, you know, sort of similar background, but he actually grew up in a pretty much a Christian family, got saved when he was about 14. Christian family, fantastic family. And so God started to bring things out of our heart. And one of the things was that we had some core values that we decided that we needed to draw a line in the sand. And some of those core values were that we wanted to be a church that was not, and excuse me, I know I'm saying some things that may seem politically incorrect, or I'm just going to say it how it is. I'm not going to maybe use the language that I'm supposed to use because I'm never sure what that language is. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to not have a white church. We wanted a church that reflected heaven. We wanted a church that was, now listen, my best friends pastor a church, and it's just about in the western suburbs, and it's pretty much all white. And they are so jealous because we're so multicultural. And so for me, it was very much, now don't forget, even 20 years ago, Australia was becoming multicultural, but with the resource boom, man, it's awesome now. It's even better. So, you know, and I mean, I won't go into the other subject, but so we wanted a church that reflected what I believe is heaven. To me, heaven is every tongue, every nation will bow before Christ and worship him. And so, you know, as you if you look around today, you know, we have a joke here if you're visiting. It is spot the Aussie because I love it. I mean, Ben today, Nigel whispered, you know, Bishop Ben. I mean, he was amazing. You know, just we love that expression of cultures in our church. That was a core value for us, is to actually look at how to do that. And Charlie Ricardo, our charity pastor, is not here today, but, you know, through the work of our charity and 15 years of doing that, we've been able to minister and reach out to all different cultures. Another thing that we needed to draw a line in the sand about was is what did we believe? So if other churches were preaching that there was a higher power and there are many ways to God, what did we, Nigel and Andrea's sermon and the team that we had, what was the core value that we believed? Well, we believe, you may not believe this, but this is what we believe. And I'm really going to I needed to say this before we started. I've never said this in 20 years. I really need you to sit through this sermon today. Not go out, not go to the toilet, not get distracted, because this is probably one of the hardest messages I'm ever going to preach. And I'm not exaggerating. And I need you to hear it all, because if you don't, you're going to take it out of context. And I really don't want to, you know, distress anyone. So one of the other core values was that, what did we believe? Well, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that he died, he rose again, and we believe in the infallible word of God. And you can actually go onto our website and there's a whole list of doctrine that we believe, but we believe that this is the word of God. So while it was to never, ever offend other people about their belief system, it was to say, well, this is C3 Fremantle. This is what we believe. While we respect your view, this is what we believe. And so that's been the journey so far. But probably a few months ago, I am so emotional, and I do apologise, because if you know me, I'm not an overly emotional person. I just want you to hear my heart for a moment, and it is my absolute heart today, is to not cause distress by what I'm about to say. But I feel so strongly that this is one of those times where there's a line in the sand, and while it may not be popular, we need to say it. And so today I want to have a conversation with you about same-sex marriage. Now, that's why I need you to hear me from start to finish, because we are going to go on a bit of a journey. If you today are in a same-sex relationship, I do not want to hurt you or distress you, what I'm about to say. If you have feelings towards the same sex, again, it is not my intention to distress you. And I hope by the end of today, you will get a very clear understanding of what I am trying to communicate. So Pastor Nige, who gave a great message last week, he talked about the biblical perspective of marriage. And so the biblical perspective, and I'm just going to quickly recap on that, is Genesis 1:26. And so God said, let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. And verse 27 said, so God created people in his own image, and God patterned them after himself. Male and female, he created them. Now, the Reverend William Luck, he was a former professor of theology at the Moody Institute, says that scripture is telling us that God has distributed his image into genders, which reflect his makeup. In the Hebrew, and I wish I was a Hebrew scholar, so please excuse my pronunciation. In the Hebrew, male is zakar and female is Najiba. Who can say that? Spit it out if you know Hebrew. And they're both human beings, but they differ from each other in a complementary way. And the Hebrew terms are physically descriptive. Professor Luck believes that neither gender alone exhibit the complete divine image. We need both. So God blessed Adam and Eve in verse 28, and he told them to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Jesus reiterated marriage in Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5. Jesus replied, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined, let no man separate. And then the Apostle Paul reconfirmed marriage. As the scripture says in Genesis 2:24, a man will leave his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. In every civilization for the past 5,000 years and in every major world religion, marriage has been defined as between a man and a woman. That is the Bible perspective. Now, the issue that's been dominating our news at the moment is about same-sex marriage. Now, this issue affects us all. I have a stepsister that has been in a same-sex relationship for many years. In previous employment, I worked with many gay and lesbian people, and as a pastor have had people with same-sex attraction attend our services throughout our 20-year history. I've even been asked to marry someone. And I know that many of you have family, friends, and work colleagues that are either homosexual or lesbian. And so the views that I put forward today are not intended to cause distress to anybody. But it's been after much consideration and reflection that Pastor Nigel and I feel that we'd like to have a conversation with you about it. It's going to be a very brief overview because of our time constraints. But here's some information for you. And I'm going to use the word gay to describe homosexual and lesbian relationships just because it's easier to say, and we all understand that term. Statistics at the moment, 1.2% of Australians identify with being gay. A recent Gallup poll of the US households put the figure in the US at 3.8% of the population, and 2% of the world population are gay. I don't think there would be many people in this room that don't know someone or have a family member or are in a work situation where they don't know people that are gay. And so the topic for debate at the moment in Australia is to have the Marriage Act redefined to include same-sex marriage. The same-sex marriage lobby, they would hold the position that to not include same-sex marriage into the Act is discriminatory and creates inequality. Now, this is a very complex issue. So I'm really going to just bring it down to one main point. Supporters of the same-sex marriage bill believe changing the Act will show love, respect, equality, and provide commitment to same-sex couples. And you can research that on the same-sex marriage website. So at this point in time, same-sex couples in most of the Western world receive the same legal rights as married couples in respect to laws pertaining to property, children, financial and health benefits. And there are also civil partnerships or civil union ceremonies to recognise this union. So the debate is around the redefinition of the word marriage. And I'm going to come back to that later. So the wording of the current bill that is before Parliament is as follows, and this is from the Australian Parliamentary website. Marriage means the union of two people, regardless of their sex, sexuality or gender identity, voluntarily entered into for life. That is what is currently before Parliament. So what should my response be as a Christian? Now, this is where I need you to see me right through. I don't want anyone to misconstrue what I'm saying. Well, my response should be, Andrew's sermon, my response will be, I believe in the biblical perspective of marriage. However, Genesis 1:26, God made humankind in his image. That means, irrespective of our race, religion or sexual orientation, we are God's children. And in John 3:16, Jesus tells us that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And verse 17 goes on to say that he didn't come to condemn it, but to save it. Jesus goes on to instruct us in Matthew 22:37 to love our neighbour as ourselves. That means that we are to love everyone. So would Jesus condemn a gay? No, he would have loved them. There is theological discussion around the woman with the many sins who broke an alabaster jar and she anointed Jesus' feet for burial. Some scholars believe that actually she was a lesbian. I'm not sure. So what should our response be? Our response should be to imitate Christ, which means we are to show love and respect to everyone. At the very core of C3 Fremantle's values, at the very core of our values, is that you are accepted. I'm going to say it again. I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. At the very core of C3 Fremantle's values is that you are accepted. As a fellow human being made in the image of God, I accept you. I don't care the colour of your skin, which God you worship, or your sexual orientation. You are accepted. But accepting someone doesn't mean we have to agree. So, we don't have to agree with everything a person believes or how they behave. Now, Pastor Nigel and I have been married for 28 years, and if you've been married for any length of time, you get this. Nigel and I disagree on just about everything. Yet we still love each other. I'll say that's purple. He'll say that's pink. I'll go, no, no, it's purple. He'll go, it's pink. I'll go, it's purple. He'll go, it's pink. You get what I mean. Furthermore, to say that I don't agree with you about an issue doesn't mean that I'm intolerant. And I want to say this to all of you today because you have had it said to you that you are intolerant because of your Christian beliefs. No, you just don't agree. I want to empower you today to know that you are not discriminatory or racist or hate gays. Well, I hope you don't. I hope you're accepting. But what I want to say to you is that that does not equal intolerance. But the church has not been good at being tolerant. We have tried to demonize people. We have tried to make certain elements of society and I'll name two, the gay community and Muslims. They just jump straight out. We have tried to demonize God's people. And so what I want to say is that we can accept, but we don't have to agree. So we're going to watch, because the US have actually went through this before we did. And so unfortunately there's not a lot of stuff out there from Australians. So I actually have a lot of respect for Pastor Rick Warren. I'm actually going to show you, where's all the Africans in our church? We're going to have the bishop as well. We're going to go to, I'm not sure if it's on 28 seconds, because it needs to be on about 28 seconds. Okay, so this is actually quite a long interview, and I'm just going to get you to watch. It's actually about 5 to 6 minutes, but I think it's really interesting for you. Shall we watch? Let's go.
Well, and I'll say it again, as I've said many times. You don't have to agree with somebody to love them. If you had to agree with everything a person did, you'd never love anybody. My wife wouldn't love me, because she doesn't agree with a lot of things I don't do. So it is a myth that our society is bought into two myths. One is the myth that is, if I don't agree with you, then I hate you, or I'm afraid of you, I'm phobic of you, or I disrespect you. That's just not true. It doesn't have to be true. And the other myth is that in order to love someone, you have to agree with everything they do or think or believe. I'd like to see a healthy dialogue and debate without people simply saying, unless you agree with me, you hate me. I don't hate anybody. In fact, I'm commanded by Jesus Christ to love everybody. I'm commanded to treat him with respect. As I've mentioned many times, there's a difference between acceptance and approval.
And what does that mean then in an equal marriage context? There's a difference between acceptance and approval to you personally.
Well, Jesus accepts all of us. He accepts a gay person. He accepts a straight person. He accepts all of us unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. Jesus does not approve of everything I do or everything you do. So it's not illegal in America to love anybody. It's not illegal. And so what the issue is, do we have to, everybody has to approve of everything everybody does? Well, I don't think so.
Well, but do you think then for you as a minister, there's a difference between being able to accept someone's right to marry whomever they would choose to, whether of the same sex or a different sex, and then whether or not you would approve of their choice?
Well, let me clarify. I've said this, like, this is the question every single journalist asks.
Well, and I think
every single journalist, it's like the hidden agenda.
No, it's not a hidden agenda, but in a year in which we had equal marriage in different ways on the ballot, and now after those votes, there are equal marriage rights in 9 out of our 50 states, and a majority of Americans now said in 2012 that we as a country support equal marriage largely. Yeah, and I think that, it's why people keep asking you.
Well, what do they expect a Christian pastor to answer? I don't believe the Bible anymore?
No, but I think, you can say that the Bible has one place in life and the state has a different place.
And that's what I've said in multiple interviews. Everybody has a source of authority. Everybody does. You do, I do, everybody does. I have chosen as my source of authority the Bible. I believe it is God's word. I believe it is true. I believe it was true 1,000 years ago. I believe it'll be true in 1,000 years from today. Other people don't have that source of authority. Some people, their source of authority is popular opinion. Whatever's popular, that's my... Some people have majority rule. That's my source of authority. Some people, their authority is themselves. Okay, then naturally, somebody who has a different source of authority than me is going to disagree with me on this. Can we respect each other? Can we love each other? Can we treat each other? If I went out and I said, everybody ought to be baptized, the entire nation ought to be baptized, and you should all accept baptism. Well, then, if you said to me, Rick, I don't agree with that, I can't say to you, well, then you hate me. I can't say, well, then you're afraid of me. No, you just disagree with me.
I think that one of the reasons so many people keep asking you about equal marriage is that marriage historically in America has been both the province of religion and the province mm-hmm. of the state.
There's an important series of lectures by the professor at Harvard, his name's skipping me right now, on this very issue that's pretty profound, because the truth is government is not neutral about marriage. And he makes that point, that case. Why has government favored marriage? Because of the good that it brings to society. It is when marriages fall apart, societies fall apart.
And so do you think that governments have, or our government has mm-hmm. the sort of right to make a choice to extend that?
Well, we're in a democracy, Chelsea, so nobody wins all the time, okay? And gay marriage might become the rule someday. That doesn't mean I think it's right. I do not favor the redefinition of marriage. I think that the term marriage should be saved for what it is. If you want to use another term, use another term. It would be like this. How about if all of a sudden I said, I'm going to call myself a Muslim. Now, I don't believe in the Quran. I believe Jesus died on the cross, but I'm going to call myself a Muslim. People say, wait a minute, you can't have our word. You can't redefine our word. That's our word. And Jews regularly say, people who are Jews for Jesus, you're not a real Jew. If you believe in Jesus, you're not a Jew. Well, you know, actually, I agree with them on that. I think you're right. You don't have a right to take somebody else's term.
So civil unions? How do you feel about civil unions?
Civil union might be a term they could use. Yeah, fine.
I'm
just opposed to redefining marriage and say, wait a minute, that term has been used for, I don't know how long, but a long time. So why get that word? Why not use some other word?
Okay, interesting. And I just might grab the lights when you're ready. The early church faced many of the same issues that we're facing today. The Apostle Paul spent a lot of time writing to the churches on the importance of sexual purity for all believers. So this isn't a new issue. And the early church suffered persecution for those beliefs. I don't think many of you here are going to be boiled in oil, fed to a lion, or crucified upside down for saying that you believe in a biblical perspective of marriage. Now, understand why we want to be liked. All of us want to be liked. And we don't want to offend people. There will come a time in your Christian journey where you will need to articulate your beliefs. The critical matter is, how do we articulate those beliefs? My personal opinion is that a militant approach is not the right way. Suicide amongst the gay community is higher than any other group in our world. That is an absolute tragedy. I do not believe that condemning or judging someone for their sexual orientation is helpful to that person, only harmful. As Nigel said last week, sexual sin is sexual sin, whether that's heterosexual or homosexual. Sin is sin. One of my scriptures, and I have scriptures every year I put on my fridge, and one of my scriptures for this year that's sitting there right now is Titus 3:2 from the Message Bible, which says, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarrelling, that's for our household, to be gentle, and to show courtesy toward all people. I encourage you to make this the standard you use when discussing this issue with others. So when asked about your views on the topic, you could respond by saying, I believe in the biblical perspective on marriage. Or, I accept you, but I can't agree with you on this issue. Or, let's agree to disagree. It's very rare, in my experience, that our opinions will win anyone over. What will win a person over is the way they are treated. While people may be angry with you that you have a different opinion, and they may even call you intolerant, but if you are consistently kind and loving, it will speak more volumes than your opinion. I just want to leave you with a few thoughts today. The biblical perspective is that marriage is between a man and a woman. We are not here to condemn the world, but to love it. We need to accept all of humanity, irrespective of their colour, their religion, or their sexual orientation. We need to show tolerance and respect for other people's beliefs. Accepting someone doesn't mean we have to agree with them. And we need to apply Titus 3:2 as the standard you use. You know, maybe you're here today, and I'm sorry if you're a visitor. I'm so sorry. You should have come last week. I tell you, you'd be running out to get married. So, and next week, it's all about grace, forgiveness. It's all great. You know, maybe you're here today and you actually don't agree with my position. Your interpretation of the Bible is different to mine. Well, you know what? That's okay. The church has debated and argued controversial issues for centuries. This is nothing new, and I refer you to Acts 15, verses 36 to 44. But how should you and I relate to one another if we have a difference of opinion as Christians? Well, again, I would say that the same standard we should apply in the church as we should outside of the church. That is Titus 3:2. We should speak evil of no one, we shouldn't quarrel, we should be gentle, and we should be courteous toward all people. It's okay to disagree. As I said, you may say purple, I may say pink. Don't let issues of this nature divide God's people. It's pretty rare that you and I are going to agree on everything. You know, I've always come at Christianity at trying to find common points of agreement than disagreement. Such as, if you and I both believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who came to earth and died on the cross for our sins and rose again, that's awesome. We've got a common point of interest. If you and I believe that the Word of God is the written Holy Scriptures given to us by inspiration from God, you and I have got common ground. I believe it's a terrible example to those outside the church when the family of God can't get along inside of it. We need to model to people how we can disagree healthily about issues but still love one another. We are all at different points in our theology. Let that not separate us. If you are here today and you have a same-sex orientation or you are in a same-sex relationship as one of the senior pastors of this church, I would say to you, you are accepted. I would say to you, I would also, even though this is the biblical perspective of marriage, God loves you. And so as a church, you are so welcome here. You are so welcome. I'd like to finish with a YouTube from the great man, Bishop T.D. Jakes, because this is a very heavy message. And I just think he sums it up. This is actually after the Supreme Court in the U.S. agreed to introduce same-sex marriage in the U.S. And this was his response to his congregation. And I actually think it's brilliant. I'd like to ask the band if they wouldn't mind coming back up, because I want to sing that new song, because I think that just says it all. Every person in this room is a child of God. We are children of God, and God loves us. Are we ready to play that? Fantastic. Let's go. And
well, it's been an interesting week. I'm sure you've heard of it. There's been a lot of things to hear about. One of the things that I've been bombarded with is the Supreme Court making a decision about same-sex marriage, and everybody's been texting and tweeting and preachers calling me, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Send me your statement. I'm not really as concerned about this as a lot of people are. I'm really not as concerned about it. I think that we should not lose our mind over the world being the world and the church being the church. This is not a news flash. The world is going to be the world and the church is going to be the church. And you have to understand the difference. The Supreme Court is there to make a decision based on constitutional rights and legalities that fit all Americans. They are not debating scripture. They're just not debating scripture. I guarantee you that they weren't in there looking at Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6 and weighing it against the policies. We have bought into all of this rhetoric about America being a Christian nation. I like to say that America has a lot of Christians in it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a Christian nation. This is not a theocratic form of government. It's a democratic form of government. And so you have to understand and just calm down and relax. But what we do need to watch is that our religious freedom is also respected and protected so that we don't have to get caught up in the winds of the world and go the way the world is going. Amen? And so we need to watch that as we grapple with an ever-changing society, and our society is becoming more and more pluralistic. There is nothing to say that America will always, that Christianity will be the dominant religion in this country. I hope it will. I hope it will. It's up to us. It's up to us. But we have stopped witnessing. We stopped winning souls. Anybody who doesn't believe like we believe, we don't talk to them anymore. Anytime you segregate yourself, you isolate yourself and you diminish yourself. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And so we need to change as a church too. We need to start reaching out to all types of people and preaching to them and ministering to them and sharing our faith with them. I don't mean on Sunday morning. I mean in the mall. I mean in the grocery store. I mean while you're getting your hair done. It's time for you to be a real Christian. I mean a real Christian, and win people to Jesus Christ. And you can start in your own house. Talk to me, somebody. You can start in your own house. But don't write me anymore and call me about that other stuff. People are saying to me, if you say something, it'll stop it. I say, am I God? The Supreme Court stopped because Bishop Jakes preached a message. Say something about it, Bishop. Let me tell you something. God is still in control. God is still in control. I said, I don't think they heard me. Let me try y'all. God is still in control. God is still in control. God is still in control. Amen. So I just want to say that, and I want to move on. We know what the Word of God says. There's something that you need to understand as well. The Supreme Court makes its decisions based on the Constitution, debating the constitutionality of any particular issue. But I must warn you, God does not judge you by the Constitution. He judges you by the Word of God. So while the Supreme Court is looking at the Constitution, you better search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? This blessed old book is still good, baby. It's still right in your house. Somebody say amen.
You just did it awesomely. Okay, every person at C3 Fremantle is... accepted. You are accepted. Regardless of your race, your religion, your sexual orientation, you are accepted in this church. You are loved. What I'd love you to do as your senior pastor is go out and love your world. Can you do that? Fantastic. Let's sing this song. If you would like some prayer afterwards, if you need me to pray, I would be honored to pray with you, and we can just journey, if you're struggling with this whole issue, we can journey together. God bless you guys. Have a great week.